Transform your life today. Welcome to Super Coach with Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is the story of no and the numbers to call to get coaching on having what you want in any area of your life. 866-254-1579. It's toll free from the United States and Canada. 866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, you can reach the show on 760-918-4300. And as always, I'd like to set the table, get things started by talking a little bit about this idea, what I call the story of no. And it's based on an analogy that my friend Steve Chandler told at a seminar we were leading together called Financially Fearless. And he said, imagine that a friend of yours receives an extraordinary offer from an eccentric millionaire. And this mysterious benefactor sets a timer for 10 minutes and hands your friend a coin. And he says, each time your friend flips the coin in the next 10 minutes and it comes up heads, I'm going to give him $1,000. Well, so the timer starts, but to your surprise, your friend doesn't immediately start flipping the coin. Instead, he stares off into the distance like he's trying to psych himself up for the big coin flipping task at hand. And then after a couple minutes of, you know, deep breathing, intense concentration, your friend flips the coin for the first time and it comes up tails. Now, this is probably driving you nuts by now, but he doesn't just pick up the coin and flip it again. Instead, he kind of glares at it on the ground like it betrayed him. So a full minute later, you know, and remember, every second counts here. Full minute later, he picks the coin up with a grimace on his face. You can't tell what the grimace is. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's sadness. Maybe he's mad. Maybe it's all of that. He eventually flips the coin again. Again, it comes up tails. And again, he just walks away like, oh. Now, we're more than 4 minutes into it now. So you're thinking, I'm going to be helpful. I listen to Supercoach. I'm going to coach this guy. I'm going to offer him some encouragement. I'm going to say, hey, buddy, all you got to do, you just keep flipping the coin. You'll make thousands of dollars. But your friend just looks at you really sadly and says, you don't understand. I've got tails twice now. That's $2,000 I've lost. I'm running out of time. Well, that doesn't matter, you say. You've still got plenty of time. Just keep flipping. Well, that's easy for you to say, your friend says. I mean, you don't have the life experience I've had. When I was a little kid, I flipped tails auditioning for the school play, and I wound up being the third tree on the left in the forest scene. And then when I was a teenager, I had the chance to go to the big dance with my dream date, but I flipped tails, and I wound up having to go with my cousin. And don't even get me started on all the tails I flipped when I tried getting a job after graduation. I cannot face getting tails again. It is too much. And you sort of sit there a little bit shocked and nothing you say seems to make any impression on your friend, and you watch in amazement as he stands there, coin in hand, watching the timer count down to zero without ever flipping it again. Now, unless you didn't even understand the story, you can easily see that your friend's a little bit foolish. Because no matter how many times he flipped the coin and it came up tails, he still had a 50-50 chance the next flip could come up heads. And over time, even with a lot of bad luck, he could easily have made tens of thousands of dollars. But what we don't see is that each time we want to do something and we make a request and somebody says no, and then we turn the word no into a story about rejection or betrayal or injustice or karmic retribution, we're acting just like our friend, just like that would-be coin flipper. Our story of no paints us into a corner. We get to the point where we're too afraid to even ask for what we want, whether that's a job, that's a sale, that's a date with our dream lover, it's a date with destiny. Truth is, no doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean you're doomed to failure. It's not evidence of a conspiracy against you by the fates or the government. It's not proof that your parents or teachers or siblings were right about you and you'll never amount to anything. It just means not yes. That's it. Not yes. No means not yes. What's so scary about not yes? If you don't have a story about it, not much. In fact, it's no more scary or meaningful than flipping a coin and having it come up tails. Without your story of no, you're free. In fact, you've always been free. Now, I've always really loved the maths of this. I find it really interesting that if you flip a coin 100 times in a row and it comes up tails every single time, the odds on it coming up heads on the 101st flip are still only 50%. Random chance doesn't keep score. And if you want to have asking for what you want be as easy as flipping a coin, you don't have to keep score either. You can simply ask and ask and ask again, and sooner or later, someone will always say yes. Now, we on the show last week, there's a woman who phoned in from a military base in Germany, I think, named Cammie. Cammie, if you are out there, what I'd love you to do, I'd love you to either call the show or at the very least, send me an email with your address and contact information at radio@geniuscatalyst.com, radio@geniuscatalyst.com, because there were a lot of people who were just moved by the story of your parents' house and the foreclosure, and they want to help, and they want to encourage you, and they want to share with you. And that, the fact that Cammie could even come on the show and talk about it was because she wasn't too scared off by the story of no. And I'd very much like to know that your parents are going to keep their house, or at the very least, they're not going to lose it because the story of no stopped people from asking and stopped people from doing what they could do to help. So Cammie in Germany, please get in touch with us. And in the meantime, let's go to the phones and let's go to Ontario and let's talk to Margo. Margo, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today? Oh, probably. Hello there.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm having a little bit of difficulty getting started in a business. I really want to do it, but I don't like taking the first step.
What is the first step? Is it over a cliff?
Yeah, it feels like it. It feels like it.
But what is it really? Maybe you're right.
I'm always coaching others, and people are always asking me for advice, and I'm always helping others with, and I have no problem with that. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to charging, it's like, am I good enough to charge? You know, like, am I worth that?
Well, okay. Now, that's a great couple of questions. Can we stay with those for a minute?
Okay.
Are you worth that? Okay. Nobody is worth any more or less than any other person. So in terms of, and this is what the problem is, right? We get our self-worth confused with our marketplace worth.
Right.
So, you know, we say, am I worth that? As if somehow, whether or not we're a good person or we've done enough good things or we've practiced enough or we're, as if somehow we would be the arbiters of what something is worth. You know, there's an old, I think it was Spinoza, an old philosophical quote that said the value of a slice of the value of a slice of bread depends on the last time you ate. In other words, there's no intrinsic value to what we do. We have an intrinsic value as human beings. You know, nobody I've met has ever argued with me when I say, you know, go to a baby and tell that baby it doesn't have intrinsic worth. An intrinsic value. And yet somehow, apparently, that value can get lost in life. So let's not confuse self-esteem with value in the marketplace, first off. What is it that you do? What's the business?
Well, first, I want to create this business.
Okay.
And I'm really excited about it. I'm always, I know a lot about health. I've worked for doctors, and I'm now on the natural path, and I've been doing this for years, and I'm always coaching others and you know, talking about the body, whatever. I've got a lot of information over the years. I've read many books and I don't know. My life works for me. I mean, I do a health program for myself, and I've helped a few, and it just seems to work for whoever I've helped so far, you know?
Okay. And when you say work, so if let's say my aunt is, you know, has had health problems and is having more. As a result of working with you, would she, you know, what would be the most likely outcome?
What would be the most likely outcome if I worked with her?
Yeah.
She'd be getting on a good program and realizing that her, what she eats and what she's her thoughts and are creating some of the reality of what was happening in her life, and if she changed things around, she had a possibility of gaining her health back.
Okay, so let me see if I understood that. If I take away all the qualifiers and I understand. I'm scary. if I take away all the qualifiers and all the other things that you said, then if she does your program, there's a a reasonable chance that she'll get healthy.
Yes.
Okay. So you've probably heard these stories too, but there are so many stories in literature, in anecdotal stories, actual stories of billionaires who say, as they're lying on their deathbed, that they would give everything that they've earned for one more day of health.
Mm.
So I don't know what you're using as your reference point, but I can't imagine that there is anything that you could charge that sounds like a lot compared to everything a billionaire has.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I could tell by the way you described it that, and, you know, tell me if I'm wrong, but it sounded a lot to me when you described it like you really don't want to say that this is going to help people get healthier. Because you kind of went all the way around that. Now, there may be a legal reason for that. You may not be allowed to say that.
Because you can only suggest. You can only suggest.
And I understand that. But I'm not asking for your advertising right now. I'm asking for your belief.
My belief.
And I don't mean self-belief. Like, I'm going to... I mean, I can
improve their life.
Right. Beautiful.
Yes, I can improve their life because I've proven it.
So if you can improve someone's life and you've proven it, mm-hmm. why on earth... And again, I'm saying this a little bit facetiously, but I'm not. Why on earth wouldn't you put a value on that?
Okay. They value it. I know that. I've had one girl that was to the point where she was going to commit suicide, and she is now just, you know, standing up for herself. And it's not even about the health. It's just her thought pattern, and then I did recommend things that she could do to improve her health as well. So it's more, you know, it's more than just health. You know, it's just
Here's the thing, Maria.
Okay.
I've had people say to me before, mm-hmm. I know that I can only ever, earn as much as I value myself and the work mm-hmm. that I do. That's not true.
Okay.
It really isn't. You can only ever earn as much as you're willing to charge.
Oh, okay.
It has nothing to do with your self-worth or some sort of actual value of your product. Look, if you price yourself out of the market, you'll know because no one will pay it.
Right.
That's easy. The market will take care of that. So my question for you is, and you're going to have trouble hearing the question, but try your best. What do you want to charge?
I'm going to have trouble with it.
Because the question you're likely to hear is, what do I think I can get? And that's not the question I'm asking.
No.
And I'm not asking, what is it worth? And I'm not asking any of those questions. I am asking, what do you want to charge? If you could make up a price, what price would you make up?
First of all, I probably don't know what it's worth. That's maybe it.
Well, you don't know what it's worth because its worth is infinite.
Yeah.
If you can improve my health, if you can improve my family's health, if you can improve our lives, there is no amount of money that we would not pay for that if we really saw that that's what was going to happen. So there is no value because the value is infinite. So what do you want to charge? I'm not saying you have to charge this. Understand. Just hear the question. If you could charge anything, and you can, but if you could charge anything, what number would you make up?
I wouldn't go high. I know I would go really low because...
Great. What's the number?
Because of the way I've always
Margo,
been.
Margo, Earth to Margo,
okay,
what's
by the
number?
By the hour, 20. Okay. I'll go high. That's high for me.
Fine.
$20.
So, Margo, are you willing to ask people for $20 an hour?
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. The first time you say that, you've taken the first step.
Okay.
And in 3 months, you may charge different. That will be fine too.
I think basically, I've listened to you talk about having a coach of your own yourself, and I guess that's what I need. Do I?
it makes it. There's an old Zig Ziglar story that I always like, and he was doing a talk for a cookware company, And this young guy came up to him and said, "Mr. Ziegler, that was a fantastic talk. I want you to know I really took notes on everything you said, and I'm wondering if you'd be willing to you know, coach me a little right now about how I can become a top salesman in this company." And Ziegler said, "Oh, well, all right, let's start with this. What's your favorite thing about your set of cookware?" And the guy gets kind of embarrassed, and he says, "Well, do you know, I haven't been able to afford one yet, but I've already told my wife that the first sale I make, that commission check is going to buy cookware." And Zig Ziglar says, "Well, if you can't overcome your own doubts, why do you expect that you'll be able to overcome your customers' ones?" So there's something about having a coach simply from the point of view of, if you can't get yourself to spend money on it, it's going to be that little bit harder for you to talk other people right into it. So right, that's one side of it. The other side is, a good coach will really support you. And I really encourage you to go check out supercoachacademy.com. And that's where we train coaches. And it might be something at some point you want to do. But also, there's a listing of some of the coaches. And some of them are going to be out of your price range, but some of them will be in your price range. And it's a real nice place to start. And you can read a bit about them and see who you kind of resonate with, and you know, make contact and find out if there's a relationship to be had there. But in the end, whether you have a coach or don't have a coach, it's going to come down to, at some point, you just have to ask the question. And the worst thing that can happen is the person says no. And unless you have a story of what that no means, other than not yes, so what? On to the next. All right, Marco, I want you to email radio@geniuscatalyst.com and let us know when you've asked that question for the first time. And I'm going to make you one of the few money-back guarantees I offer. People who listen to the show regularly know this. You may know this. If your head explodes when they say no, you will get your money back.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
You know, I mean, that's you know, the fears we make up are incredible. And I mean, I hope you heard, the reason I stuck with that call as long as I did is because I know from doing this, people can't hear that question in relation to money. They can't hear, what do you want to charge? I was talking to a very dear friend yesterday, and she was telling me about a young woman just starting out in coaching, and she's doing a very specific kind of work that was really as much about makeovers as it was about anything else, and dating, and getting somebody ready for dating. And you know, this person was talking to a very well-respected coach, and that coach was saying, "Well, what's the value of what you do, and what do other people charge?" And all this very sensible sounding stuff. And my friend just asked this woman, "Well, what do you want to charge?" And she said, "Well, I don't know. I'm $5,000 for for an intensive." And she said, "Well, okay, how about you charge that?" And the woman said, "Can I?" And she went out and she put it out there. And the first few people she went to didn't, though a couple of them were willing to pay less and do it. And she's about to start on November 1st with her first $5,000 client. That's not because she's worth it. That's not because she had self-esteem. It's because she asked and someone said yes. And if you don't have a story of no, that's what can happen for you too. Let's go to Philadelphia. Let's talk to Dan. Dan, welcome back to the show. What can I do for you today?
Thank you, Michael. My question is not necessarily about money, but sort of time management, which is sort of the same concept, I guess, in a way. I've noticed that I've kind of slipped into a pattern for the past few weeks, and I haven't been doing what I want to do. And I want to say no to that pattern of day-to-day living and sort of, you know, the other side of the coin, say yes to something different and ways that I used to be going about things previously that I can't seem to, I don't want to say I can't, but, you know, because I don't know. Any thoughts so far from what I've said?
Well, lots of them, and they're all in your head going crazy so you can't hear your wisdom speak.
Okay.
Because basically, Dan, what's something that you'd like to do that you're not doing?
I would like to invest more time in my writing.
Okay, so let's get specific, because one of the problems that we get into with time management is abstractions and notions. So we go, okay, I want to spend more time on my writing. Well, you could spend another 30 seconds and that would happen, but it wouldn't right be what you really want. So is there, how much writing would you like to do today?
I guess like a half hour to start.
Okay, great. So as you look at your calendar for the rest of today, after you've listened to my show, obviously.
Absolutely, yes.
Where's your half hour going to come?
Probably right after.
Okay, great. So will you sit down at the end of the show for half an hour? You can set a timer and write for half an hour.
Yes, and I guess I could apply that to a half hour of reading and a half hour of artwork and
You can apply it to anything, because when it becomes a yes-no question, it's easy. Like, okay. You know, will I do this? Yes. Will I do this? No. That's fine. That's easy. What will I do? Well, I'll do this. Okay, great. But when you try to change a pattern, that's where, you know, that to me, like when somebody talks to me about changing a pattern, the picture I see in my head is of them diving into a giant can filled with worms and trying to work their way out. It's okay. Like, that's hard. I don't know how to do that, but I know how to sit down and write for half an hour. That's not hard.
All right.
All right. So I you going to do it?
Absolutely. I will. Yes.
Fantastic. It's that easy, Dan.
Thanks. I greatly appreciate it, Michael.
A pleasure. Thanks for phoning. You know, it's funny because we do. We make stories. We make stories of no. Oh my God, I've been rejected. I've been rejected so many times. You mean somebody didn't do what you wanted? Somebody didn't agree with you about what you wanted? Okay. Well, that happens. But rejection is hard. You know, I want to sit down to write. So sit down to write. But changing the pattern of saying yes to the yes and no to the no, that's hard because it's a made-up world. It's a made-up story. So to try and make changes in the story, oh, I mean, I get dizzy just trying to talk about it. But to actually change something, like practical in the world, no problem at all. Let's go to Louisiana. Let's talk to, is that Anya? Anya, am I saying your name correctly?
Yes, that's Anya.
Fantastic. So tell me a little bit, what can I do for you today?
Yes, I'm really excited to talk to you, Michael. I'm a member of your website, and I, you know, listen to you all day long. my question is, my husband and I live in this very small rural town. Mm-hmm. We moved here 3 years ago and never planned to stay. But my husband got really, really comfortable with his job here, and he loves, the pace and everything. And, you know, I'm an artist, and I need artistic community and inspiration mm-hmm. around me, and there's very little of it here. So I've been trying to persuade him to move. Well, we finally agreed on moving, and yesterday we did your little exercise with flipping a coin, you know, and seeing what, you know, we hope the answer would be. You know, and we each came up with a different place that we hoped we would ideally move to.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants to go to a new place, somewhere we've never lived before, and I would like to return to a place we've already lived before and have established friends and relationships, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my question, and the reason I'm feeling a little helpless because I don't know whether I should say no to his place and push my place, but because he's the money maker right now, like he's telling me, well, if you can make a six-figure income, I'll go wherever you want to go. So it's like money leads, you know, money's talking here. So, you know, right now, but I'm feeling very, I guess, when we talk about going his way, my energy becomes really, really low. And I'm not really excited. It's not like a wow.
So here's what I'd like you to do, Anya. We're coming up on a break. Can you stay with us over the break?
Yes.
Okay. So what I'd like you to do during the break is I'd like you to just get quiet as best you can.
Yes.
And get into a good feeling as best you can.
Yes.
And just hang out in a nice feeling till we talk again. And let's see what let's see where we're at when we get back, okay?
Great. Okay, I will.
All right. So we're going to be back with Anya, Lindsay, and Linda. You are next in the queue. If you want to get in the last half of the show, 866-254-1579 is the toll-free number to call in the United States and Canada, 866-254-1579. And we will be right back after this break. Bye-bye for now.
Real strategies for real change. This is Supercoach with Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking about the story of no, and we're talking with Anya in Louisiana. Anya, welcome back.
Thank you.
So just, and it's fine if the answer is nothing, but just having just sat, you know, in a nice feeling with a reasonably quiet mind, is there anything else that occurs to you in relation to the situation that you described about your husband and you and trying to figure out where to live?
Well, one thing that occurred to me is that I just need to maybe give it time, but I'm still, this is still leaving me confused. So I don't have any clarity, you know, any more,
sure,
a lot more clarity, you know, about this.
Let me talk a little bit in general and see if you can find a way to kind of apply it to you, because this,
yeah,
is a, look, this is a common decision. I mean, the content is different. But I don't think there's anyone who's in a committed relationship who can't identify with, I want to do this, my husband or wife wants to do that, how do we decide?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so the, what I'm going to be talking about isn't about Anya and her husband, it's about people in general.
Right.
And here are some of the factors that go into decisions that work out and decisions that don't. And the first is, does the couple make the decision more important than the relationship? Because in the end, and you may not feel this way, but this is my experience, and so I've got to just share from that. I know that it is every bit as possible for any human being to be happy in Louisiana as it is in London, and in,
right,
British Columbia as it is in LA, and in Dallas as it is in Saudi Arabia.
Right.
So while a place, of course it matters,
right,
it just doesn't matter that much.
Mm-hmm.
So there. Now that doesn't mean that you just give in.
Mm-hmm.
But what it means is that it's a different conversation in perspective of whatever we do, we're still going to have a wonderful relationship and a wonderful life. I would prefer to have that wonderful relationship and wonderful life here at the moment, and you would,
right,
prefer to have that wonderful relationship and wonderful life there. But worst case, we're going to have a wonderful life and wonderful relationship there.
Mm-hmm.
Best case, we're going to have a wonderful life and wonderful relationship in this place. That changes the conversation. Doesn't end it, but it does change it.
Right.
Okay, that's the first thing. The second thing is to get that neither of you know. Like, you think you're going to enjoy it more where you think you're going to enjoy it more.
Right.
He thinks he's going to enjoy it more where he thinks he's going to enjoy it more. Both of you might be completely wrong. And in fact, the odds are you are. If you, there's a wonderful book called Stumbling Towards Happiness by a Harvard professor named Daniel Gilbert. And if you don't want to read the whole book, go online. And I think he gave a TED talk that takes about 20 minutes to watch. That was, if I'm remembering the correct talk, it was quite brilliant. And it's all about how terrible we are at predicting happiness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that what we think will make us happy, we are wrong like 70% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good to know. Going,
yeah,
in is that no matter how much it seems like it's about him versus me, we're both probably wrong. Now,
right,
I happen to have an understanding of things that the reason that we're wrong is because our happiness doesn't come from our circumstances.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we think that, oh, I can only be happy in these circumstances and can't be happy in those circumstances, which when you get that your true nature is, let's call it well-being or happiness, that just sounds silly. It's like, I can only have a nose in Texas. If I go to Kentucky, I don't get to have a nose. Well, no, that's not how noses work.
Right.
And that's really not how well-being works either.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the second thing. And then,
yeah,
the final thing, and again, this isn't about Anya and her husband, this is about people, is when it starts to become about you versus him, or him versus you. Because even in the language, it's like, well, do I do his thing or does he do my thing? And do we do?
Right.
Then you've missed it.
Because
it really, the question on the table is, you know, where do we want to live? And if I'm please don't hear anything I say as a this is what you should do. Okay.
Oh no.
But,
I...
but
I love your suggestion.
Okay, so then one thing that, you know, could happen in the context of, hey, where do we want to have our wonderful life and wonderful relationship next, is, hey, let's go to this place for, and let's give it a solid year, and let's really give it that year.
Mm-hmm.
But let's know that at the end of that year, we're committed to sitting down and seeing if I still want to be somewhere else and if you still want to be here.
Right.
That's already a different conversation. You could, mm-hmm. you could absolutely go, hey, let's agree that we're going to stay here until we come up with a place where we both go, actually, yeah, that would be great. That would be another way you could go. Not saying that's what you should do, but saying that when you have the conversation in the context of the wonderful relationship as a part of your wonderful life, you will come up with all sorts of creative ways to move forward that won't feel like one person losing and the other person winning.
Yeah, well, you know, I think my husband is actually very, you know, he's very supportive, and we're not, you know, maybe I've made it sound like it's a, you know, big fight.
No, not at all. We're not.
You know, we do know that our relationship it always comes first, and we will have a good relationship. No matter what. And actually, we kind of stumbled into this situation here. We've never would have predicted that would have, you know. It would have been as successful as it has been, but now I think what it really what you've said resonated with me. But I've realized that my problem is actually probably not the actual decision whether to move or not, but I think maybe I feel like I haven't really reached my potential, you know, and my earning potential, to where I feel like I'm not really one of the, you know, like I'm not free to.
Sure.
Decide, you know, myself, even if I was on my own, you know, without my husband, because, you know,
Anya, we're gonna kind of finish this off now, just because the context is a radio show,
right?
but I want you to notice how that's a very different question, and if you start asking that question, which is how can I create the kind of financial results from my work, how can I create that sense of, or discover that sense of freedom in my life that feels like it's lacking right now? Those are questions that you can begin to answer wherever you are.
Right. Yes. Great.
And
well,
those
thank
are,
you so
yeah,
much.
Brilliant. Thank you, Anya.
Okay. Bye, Michael.
Bye. And you know what? So often that's all it is we come thinking, we get stuck trying to solve one thing. And then when we kind of realize that there's nothing there that can't be solved, we realize that there's something underneath it. That's beautiful. That's not failure. That's success. Because you've unstick. I use the analogy, or I used to use it quite a lot. I don't think I've used it for a while, of poo sticks. Those of you who've read Winnie the Pooh, where they're playing on the bridge and they throw their sticks in the river and they see which stick comes down river. And what happens sometimes is a stick gets stuck on a rock. And when the stick gets stuck, it doesn't need therapy. It needs a nudge. And sometimes looking at something that seems like a real conflict that has to be resolved is just like a stick being stuck on a rock. And it just needs a little nudge, a little bit of coaching. And suddenly it's right back in the flow. And then you know what to do next. Let's go to British Columbia and let's speak with Lindsay. Lindsay, thank you for holding. Welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call, Michael. I'm a little nervous. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you okay, and I'm plotting mean things that I can do to you to justify your nervousness.
Oh, okay. Very nice. So my question kind of to you is that twice in a row, relatively recently, I have applied on a position which is right in line with the schooling that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
And in both situations, I was almost considered, you know, the front runner, the favorite. But in neither case, of course, did this happen for me.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm querying, because I have no problem, you know, try again, like your analogy with the coin in the beginning there, but I'm questioning that, do I keep getting this no because I'm thinking I'm on the wrong path? Is this the wrong way to go?
Tell me what you mean by path, Lindsay, in this context. Like what would how would you know what is a right path and what is a wrong path?
A right path, I think, is where I would feel harmonious and happy in a vocation.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong path would be, you know, miserable at work.
Right. No, that's a great distinction, and let's tear it apart now. Because harmonious and happy and in a vocation, when you connect them in a sentence like that, they sound like they're connected.
Yeah.
Harmonious and happy is your natural state. It's something that is available to you. It's like I was joking with the woman before about, you know, you got a nose in Texas and you got a nose in Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
You know, you get a nose in British Columbia and a nose in Newfoundland. You know, that's what it feels like to be alive when you don't have too much crap piled on top of it.
Okay. That's like my base.
Yeah. From that place of harmonious and happy with occasional bits of crap because we're all human. I then will be drawn more to certain work than other work. But okay. There won't be a feeling of neediness or desperation about it because I'm just drawn more to it.
Okay.
And so here's another part of the story of no for a lot of people. Is they don't make, some people make no mean I'm a failure, I'm not good enough, but other people make no mean the universe doesn't want me to go this way.
Yeah.
Now, that's an interesting thing to make up.
Okay.
If you knew that you were going to be every bit as capable, at least, of being harmonious and happy, regardless of whether you ever get this job or not, would you want to go for this job a third time?
Wow. I think I would, and it would be from the ego because of the money.
Mm-hmm. Well, so...
You know?
So great. So look, that's perfect, right? So you go for it. And if you get it, that's great. You get the money. And if not, you get to be spiritual. This is fantastic. You can't lose.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. When you look at it that way.
And I think that's the thing. It's, again, it's simplifying. It's taking us out of the story and simplifying it right back down to, do you want to? Do you want to go for it a third time? I don't care. I don't know. I couldn't tell you if the universe is trying to guide you differently. I couldn't tell you whether or not, you know, this means something about you. I can tell you that you flipped the coin twice, it came up tails. It's up to you whether you flip it a third time.
Okay.
And if you want to, do. And if you don't want to, don't.
Well, it comes down to do I want to.
Isn't that fun? Isn't that nice?
That's just a few short words. That's easy.
Oh, I love the kindness of the design of this place.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Lindsay.
That sounds pretty good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
You know, we do. It when something seems complicated, it's almost always because we've made a complicated story out of it. It's very rarely because it actually is. Let's go over to the UK and let's speak to Camilla. Camilla, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. Oh, my gosh.
It's me.
Wow.
Sorry, that still makes me laugh. what's on your mind?
Well, basically, I wanted to talk to you about missing opportunities. It seems that a lot of great opportunities come my way, and they kind of slip through my fingers because I can't focus on one thing long enough. I've started so many projects, and I spend so much time fantasizing, have a very vivid imagination. I daydream a lot, and within that, I can find opportunities in a lot of things other people might not see. So in one way, it's an asset, but the flip side is that I feel like I've wasted years doing this. And I've done it since I was a kid because I grew up in such a restricted environment, so I kind of just entertained myself with my dreams. And it feels like it's drugs for me. It really feels like a drug that I can't stop doing. It's like I'm lost in this other world.
Have you ever read any, I can't remember if it's in the Iliad or the Odyssey, but have you ever read those old stories about, you know, Ulysses and the Cyclops and all those characters. There's one place that they go, and I can't remember whether it's what it's called, but I know in the movie that they made recently about the kids, it was a casino in Vegas where they served this ambrosia that made people forget, that made people basically live in a dream and forget that they were in a casino and that there was a whole world outside there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a metaphor. The reason that that was in ancient Greek mythology and the reason that they're still making movies about that is because it's a metaphor for the human condition.
Mm-hmm.
The human condition is we live in a dream of thought. And the world seems real to us, but the world that seems real to most of us most of the time is just a world we're creating in our own head. It's like looking through a kaleidoscope and thinking you're looking through a telescope.
Mm-hmm.
With the kaleidoscope, you're actually really looking back at a reflection of your own eye. But because what you see can be quite beautiful, it would be easy to get lost in that and think that's real. And a lot of the spiritual journey in life is a journey of waking up. That's the most common metaphor across cultures for the spiritual journey. And it's not, funnily enough, waking up from the dream. It's waking up to the dream. It's waking up to the fact that you're dreaming. And then life, as we experience it, becomes like a lucid dream, like a dream that we are awake inside of. And the beautiful thing about being awake in the dream is everything is possible, and it doesn't really matter how things turn out, because we're free to try things, because if it goes this way, that's fine. And if it goes that way, that's fine.
It's like you're just watching it. You're watching it all.
You're experiencing that beautiful feeling of being, you know, that wonderful endorphin-y, sleepy feeling, mm-hmm. you know, but you're awake in the dream. So there's an alertness to it, and you see it, and you watch other people in the dream, and you know, it's like, oh my God, that's so bizarre. They think that dragon, look at that guy over there fighting a dragon. He really thinks that dragon with the I and the R and the S on the side is real. And oh my God, look at that woman over there. Sorry, it would be IR. I forget you're in the UK. And look at that woman over there who's actually freaking herself out because of the way that her hair looks and her stomach. And that seems like the most important thing in her world. So it's, you know, we could address this as a sort of a physiological thing, and let's look at it as a behavioral pattern, and let's change the behavioral pattern by reconditioning your neurology so that you don't. It's too much work, and the payoff wouldn't be what you really want, because it would be like being asleep in a different dream. Be like swapping one dream for another. The only thing that is ultimately going to make a difference in your experience of life is waking up in the dream.
Yeah, and doing that through spirituality or
a lot. For what I've come to see is that it's really an allowing. It's just an allowing because it wants to happen. There's something inside us that so wants to wake up, that so wants to be alive and awake in the dream, and you know, we keep drugging it with our thinking and giving it more food to think, more ambrosia, more of this drug of thought, and we can create beautiful ones. I mean, that's one of the downsides to positive thinking is we can make the dream so attractive that we don't want to wake up. That's why, and I don't believe this, but that's why in a lot of spiritual traditions, suffering is the path to enlightenment. Because, you know, when the dream gets ugly enough, people are more interested in waking up. But I don't believe that. I personally, I think it's much more fun to wake up in the middle of a beautiful dream.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's no one way to do it. It's beginning to notice, I'm in thought again. I'm in thought. I call it thought spotting. If you've read Supercoach, when I talk about thought spotting, that's what I'm talking about. It's not spotting the individual thought and changing it. It's just spotting the fact that you're thinking. And the reason you're feeling what you're feeling is because you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
And Camilla, it's a beautiful thing. It's what we human beings do. And mm-hmm. as you start to wake up to it, it won't have the same hold over you. It becomes like having a television on in the corner of the room. You might get distracted from time to time, mm-hmm. but you're not living in it anymore.
Yeah, that's what I need to do.
You know, and life becomes very different from that point on, even if you only wake up a bit. You know, you like, yeah. That's what insights are. Insights are like, we woke up just for a minute and saw mm-hmm. something. And, you know, even if you just get a couple of them, the wonderful thing about those little glimpses is that they start taking us in this other direction. And it's why I talk about the work that I do, super coaching, transformative coaching, is because it's not about changing the dream. It really is about waking up and being awake in the dream. It's a whole different life.
Yeah, I have experienced that a little bit. I felt like I've been awake for the first time ever. Yeah.
Yeah, and it only gets better.
Okay, great. Cool.
Thank you for phoning.
Thank you so much. Take care.
All right. I it's funny. We do run the gamut on this show, which I enjoy. We go from the very sort of esoteric sounding stuff to the very practical sounding stuff. But they go together. Because when you see the dream, most of life becomes common sense. Doctor, doctor, it hurts when I do this. Don't do it. Doctor, doctor, it doesn't hurt when I do this. Good. Let's go to Saratoga Spring. And Sarah, welcome to the show. We don't have a lot of time, but let's see what we can do in the last couple minutes.
Michael Neal. Wow, this is great. Hello.
Hello.
I was actually hoping I would speak with you. I've talked to your friend Robert a few times, Robert Holden.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually having what is probably a good problem. I'm an integrative practitioner. I have my own practice. And I've gotten more training, so I recently have felt like it's okay for me to raise the rates. And I've mm-hmm. listened to your show before where you said, when you start to get more people, you'll naturally know that it's time to raise the rates and you'll feel uncomfortable and you kind of just go through it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's the thing I'm having...
do you know what, Sarah? I can fix this one right now. I want you to repeat after me.
Okay.
Okay. Mm. Okay, make this sound. Mm.
Mm?
Yeah. Mm.
Mm.
Okay, now make this sound. Oh.
Oh.
Okay, now we're going to put them together. Ready? So, mm.
Mm.
Oh.
Oh.
N-oh.
Right.
Do it with me.
No.
No. No.
No.
That's how you do it. You say no. And see, the story of no, we've been talking about it through the show, is what holds us back. But because we have a story of no... Oh my gosh, if I say no, it's like killing that person. Oh my God, if I say no, what'll they do without me? If I say no, those poor... It's just a story. It's just a word. And it indicates not yes.
Okay.
Simple?
Simple.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Okay. You know, I mean, it's funny. We make such an elaborate story out of it, and it does cut both ways. You know, we get afraid to say no because we know how much it would hurt us if somebody said no to us and we got rejected. And look, I know how crappy it feels when you're in the story, so I'm not making light of that. But just know, it's just no. All right, we're going to be back with a brand new show next week. I hope you've enjoyed this one. You can always find out more about me and what I do at www.geniuscatalyst.com. And if you're interested in training in this kind of work, check out supercoachacademy.com. Cammy, if you're out there, give us a shout, radio@geniuscatalyst.com. I will be back, as I say, with a new show next week. Have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you then. Bye-bye for now.